The Obama administration proposed a two-year pay freeze. Congress was delighted to go along with it. And, in fact, now there are two separate plans in the House with some backing in the Senate from the, I think it's 125-minute member Senate Republican caucus or right. House Republican group. But they're talking about extending – one group is talking about extending the pay freeze for another year. Another is talking about extending it for another 2 years. So it would be a total of 3 or 5 years, depending on which side prevails, if any does. But they're very serious about it. They're also talking about a 15% reduction in the federal workforce, not by layoffs, but by attrition, you know, filling 2 out of 3 jobs.
Which always seems odd. I mean, I understand the need to do it, and I certainly, mm-hmm. but there are certain jobs that people really you need the right people for.
Yeah.
It does, again, but this seems sort of trying to make something fit rather than saying, hold on, what is it that we want government to do, and let's make a decision and focus on those issues and do them really well.
Well, without trying to appear cosmic or godlike on this kind of thing, I've been watching this for a long, long time.
Really, yeah.
And new members of Congress come in. And they say, it's simple. Why didn't they think of this?
Right.
Let's cut it 15%. And somebody says, well, what about the Defense Department? And they say, oh, well, not them.
Right.
What about Homeland Security? Well, not them.
Right.
IRS? No. And you, Social Security? Certainly not. So you wind up with, like, the American Battle Monuments Commission and Panama Canal Zone.
We shut down the Washington Monument.
It's easier said than done,
obviously. It is, and it's a very, very difficult task.
And something else happens, and I always, it interests me that economists and politicians and whatnot constantly miss this thing. One of my favorite rules, which I, of course, did not invent, is a law of unintended consequences.
Right.
What happens? Particularly in tough economic times, which these still are, if you say you're going to start cutting employment, freezing hiring or whatnot, and especially what's happened to people's thrift savings plan accounts, 401k plan accounts, jobs suddenly looks very good. And people who were dying to go to Florida and play shuffleboard all of a sudden think, uh-uh, I'm not leaving the safety net of this job. So your attrition rate goes down. So the thing they're counting on getting rid of people is via attrition, and the attrition rate will naturally go down in hard times.
Yeah.
And particularly when the economy is tight. And many federal workers in the past used to retire relatively early, you know, in the early 60s, and get another job in the private sector. Those jobs aren't out there anymore.
And when one of the remarkable things about this particular point in time is everything seems to be on the table. And they are talking about potential defense cuts. And I've been sending you these pieces coming from state and local New York, talking about just dramatic changes to its pension system, where you can't collect a pension. You know, we're used to seeing government employees retire and then probably get a second job. So they're essentially collecting their retirement and collecting it.
That's
not
right.
A bad gig.
Yeah.
And Mayor Bloomberg saying, we can't afford this. So, I mean, it just seems like everything is on the table right now.
Well, and Senator Susan Collins, who is a good friend of federal workers, but she's introducing legislation that would go after people who are under this FERCA, this Federal Employees Compensation Act. And these are people who are injured on the job. And it's a much better financial deal because of the tax benefits of people being under this. But she's found people who are in their 90s and 100 years old who are still under this, and they're being paid in effect because they can't work because of a job-related injury or illness, when in fact they're in their 90s. They wouldn't be working in any case. So they're looking under every rock and in every corner.
I wanted to talk because it was President Reagan's, would have been his 100th birthday over the weekend. They had a big bash. And in fact, there's a piece in the Post today about looking back at what Reagan was like for feds. Parts of it just didn't ring true to me. You were there. You were covering this.
I was there. I got caught up in a PATCO lawsuit. I knew the leaders of PATCO, the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Association, knew them well, knew the inside, what was going on, and the deals they were working with the White House. And I remember it very differently. But what happened was the union negotiated a pay raise with the administration. I don't know if the president had anything to do with it himself, but they negotiated a pay raise. And then they went outside, held a press conference, and backed off on it. And then they called a strike, and President Reagan said, strikes against the government are illegal. I give you 3 days to return something like 15,000 did not. He fired him, called a bluff, and nobody believed we'd done it. But he's gotten the reputation as a union buster. I think that term was used today. Well, he busted it. Some people think the union shot itself in the foot, and its leadership, that they were badly led by this and misled. But in any case, it was a very serious situation. The thing that amused me the most was... The Washington Post, where I worked at the time, had a story to the effect that when Reagan was elected, that Washington was going to be decimated. You know, the term was misused, as it always is. But the idea was the federal jobs here would disappear. In fact, they grew. Yeah. The government grew under Reagan. It was reshuffled. It was
different places,
right size, they'd call it now. The defense got bigger and some of the domestic agencies got smaller. But the number of federal workers was larger than when he left office and when he came in, considerably larger. And the irony of it is the one president who did downsize the federal government was William Clinton. He cut it by, depending on who's counting, 279,008.
But even that was a little bit of a reshuffling because most of that work went to the private sector.
It was contracted
went to contractors.
Out. It was which people think the Democrats don't do, but he jump started the contracting, but you know, more than any other president. But it is interesting to look back, but I think you need to be fair about this and not let any political bias creep in if you can avoid it.
Finally, I wanted to touch base because on Friday, going back to that union decision, TSA John Pistol decided that TSA workers, 40,000 of these airport screeners all across the country, can join a union. They'll have a vote next month. I've seen a lot of hyperbole that these folks will now strike, and people love to, you know, outside of IRS folks, these are probably the least like federal employees out there.
Well, you know, to me, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow on the show. I'm having the gang from the Federal Times in. We're going to discuss this. I ran it by them, and I said, am I right in thinking this? Here you got a federal agency that's staffed by many, many unhappy people. It's tough work. It's like retail. You're standing on your feet all day. People don't want to see you. The customers coming through the line.
No, they
and
dislike
you.
Say, you. Right.
You've been in line for a long time. Have your passports out. Have your tickets out. And you say, oh, by the way, can I see you naked? Right. You know, I mean, this is a tough job, the TSA. And my thought is, and both the American Federation of Government Employees and the National Treasury Employees Union are fighting desperately to win the TSA group. You know, it's a large number of people, lots of new members, lots of dues money. If they can't do it, if they can't organize this agency, and I'm not saying that they can. It's a tough sell. That does not bode well for the union movement in federal government in general, because this is one unhappy place with a lot of unhappy people, and you would think that they would be ripe for joining an aggressive union. What happens if they don't?